It's the Legends.
With 1-888-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome along to the Radio City Legends for a Monday evening. Today is the first day of the 1-888-BET sponsorship of the Legends show. So welcome along to 1-888-BET. Of course, we've got Aldo and Sharpie here. We'd like your calls as well between now and 7.30. 01514720 967 Right, good evening, chaps. Last time I saw John, right, we'd come out of Anfield and his heart sank.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because
I was walking out with him. We came into the car park and the lights are flashing on his car and he had a meltdown. And he thought his battery was dead in his car, which the guy next to me found really amusing. So John ran to his car and fortunately for him, his day was saved, wasn't he? And it was a bit like Liverpool's game, really. It was all happy in the end, but it was a bit worrying.
Come to life in the end, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was...
Is that the most exciting thing about the day?
The goal was, long enough to wait for.
Yeah.
They made it difficult for us, but I thought their goalkeeper played well, Hennessy. I actually looked at the stats there, and sometimes you know what we can say about stats, but... Actually, Liverpool had more than 50% on target out of like 20 odd shots, which is not bad. But shows you the goalkeeper had a decent game. But we were less than convinced in the first half, weren't we? I thought when Salah come on last half hour with Solanke, who done well as well, the young lad up top, we looked better. We looked like we had a goal in us, and it's quite ironic that the goal was a little bit of a gift in the end. They put so much effort into defending, I thought they might have just tired a little bit. And perhaps that's where the tired mind, that's where the goal come from their player. But we capitalised, got the 3 points and walk away. Clean sheet. They only had one chance, which should have been buried, then Techie. Other than that, I thought that the defence played pretty well. Matip in particular, defensively. And young Robinson going forward was put some magnificent balls that me and Sharpie would have loved in the first half especially.
Why is it so hard to find a fullback Sharpie that can cross the ball? All of a sudden, Liverpool have see this lad for the first game and think, we've got something. Everton maybe have had a bit more of this recently.
I don't think fullbacks are fullbacks anymore. I think the way teams play, you know, they want the fullbacks to push forward and then the wide players come in. You know, and the fullbacks are more like attacking players now. So I don't think you see a fullback being a fullback. I think the young boy Robertson has done well. He's done well for Hull. And he's a decent player. You know, I think the test will come when he's up against somebody, you know, directly up against, and then you can see what he's like as a defender. He showed on Saturday, you know, that going forward, you know, he's an asset to Liverpool. He'll get crosses in, he'll get to the byline, he'll join in, he's comfortable on the ball. But his biggest test will be when he comes up against somebody who's run him the other way.
Arsenal on Sunday, Offenheim. Well, don't know who played Offenheim, but certainly he'll play against you know, Arsenal. But like, do you remember when we used to work and like not pattern play as such, exercises in the training ground, when you got the ball, hit your winger, who linked up with your full back, and then you go back pokes and then you'd run in. Liverpool's got to do that, because when he put the balls in the box, more often than not, we had no players in the box. Sturridge was doing his work outside the box. Manny got in on one occasion where he perhaps should have done better. But you've got to get at least three bodies in there. One of your midfield, as soon as it goes out to him, we know, it triggers the run. You've got to go one near post, one far post, and the midfielder coming in, splitting the two. You know, and Liverpool have to work on that, because there's goals off him. He'll make a lot of assists this year.
Hope so. Looked absolutely brilliant. Right, Everton, massive night tonight. In fact, massive month ahead, because if you talk about the games they've got, Man City,
massive,
Chelsea, Spurs, Manchester United, all in succession in the league.
Great games to play if you're a player. You know, the ones you want to look forward to, you know, big games. No disrespect to MDLs, but these are the games, you know, you test yourself on. This is a tough one tonight. I think Man City have improved. I think they're my favourites to win it. Big expansive pitch, you know, City of Manchester Stadium, which will favour them. Be interesting to see what Everton do, whether they go three centre backs, whether they go a flat back four. He seemed to think in his pre-match that he thinks there's a chink in their armour where they can get after. I'm not so sure in terms of
defensively, you mean?
For them defensively, John, but I'm not sure what he's going to play up top. I think Sigurdsson will start. You know, I think he'll get about 60 minutes. But it's what he plays up front. But does he play young Calvert-Lewin through the middle, on his own, with Rooney just behind, with Sigurdsson and Klaassen. I don't know, but at this moment in time, having watched us in the game against Stoke and the game against Hajduk Split the other night, where I thought we did well first half, we need to be on it right from the start of the City. I think City are strong. I think they're, as I said, the favourites for the title for me. So this is a tough one. We got a draw there last year, down to the goalkeeper saving two penalties and Lukaku scoring a worldie. We need a little bit luck tonight as well, if we can get something from tonight.
I think if they can defend Stoutley, which haven't have been pretty good early on the season, you get chances there.
Does the size of the pitch matter? You mentioned it then. I just looked at the Spurs game at the weekend. They were playing on a much bigger Wembley pitch. Yeah. And it seemed to have been some sort of factor in the game.
I think it matters.
Can you tell us a player?
I think Liverpool done particularly well on big pitches last year. You know, all the top teams have big pitches.
You're only talking about an extra metre, aren't you?
It's where you get the width, where you get a little bit of space. Yeah. Yeah. I really do think it does make a little bit of a difference.
I think if you've got the players as well, if they play that expansive way, I think it's the game becomes stretched. And it's like where teams, small pitches where teams can come and close down and say, let's go and close them down, you can do that. Yep. Arsenal was a prime example when they played a hybrid. It was a small pitch, difficult to play in. But I think the space here, in our day, it was Sheffield Wednesday was a massive pitch. Main Road was a massive pitch.
Main Road was huge.
It does make an effect for me.
City.
Well, it's the same for both teams. Right. Don't go in, but I think we've got a few injuries, and I think, still again, talking about it before, we need a striker for me. We need a number nine.
Would he not play Rooney up top tonight? Would they go with the experience there rather than young lad?
He might play the young boy wide left and put Klaassen and Sigurdsson and Rooney up top. He might well do that. And the young boy, Calvert-Lewin's got legs and he'll run all day. Yeah. So maybe that might be a change. Mm.
Right, let's get to the callers on the Radio City Legends with 188BET. Go to radiocity.co.uk and check out the Legends page. Get the latest offers from 188BET. Please gamble responsibly. Let's have a chat with Gary first in West Derby. Evening, Gary.
Evening, Steve. You okay?
Yes, the boys are here. How are you feeling about the game?
A little bit scared, to say the least. I'd take a draw all day up there, but you never know. You never know how it pans out. They are quite formidable moving forward, but you don't know, do you? Football's strange game, as we all know, so we'll just see how it works out. What I was going to say to Graham, two things early, Graham. You just mentioned one of them about the forwards. Who would you like as the forwards?
Blow my neck. Well, to bring somebody in?
Yeah, if you'd like to bring someone in now.
I think it's so hard. I was speaking to somebody today about this, and the one that mentioned, and I would have liked to seen, I know it's not possible now, is the boy Giroud at Arsenal. I would have had him. I would have had him for short term in the way that he wants to play. Koeman wants to play. I think he needs a focal point, somebody big and strong like a target man, so he can play off. And I think he would be ideal. Apart from that, I honestly don't know where he can go. Some people mentioned the boy Chris Wood, who's gone to Burnley. I'm not sure whether that step up to where we want to be.
You've got to have someone who's been there, seen it, done it, really, haven't you?
So
I said the other night, Graham, that I'd quite willingly, if it was possible, take Benteke,
I just asked John before we came on about what it was like on Saturday. He had the chance that he missed. Okay, for me, my worry is when he was at Villa, I thought a handful. Put himself about. It was his first sortie in English football, and I'm thinking, yeah, he's out to make an impression. Went to Liverpool, and for whatever reason, I thought at the time, great signing for Liverpool, maybe didn't fit the way they played. But I've just seen a change in him, where I'm thinking, has he got that hunger and desire anymore? I look at him at Crystal Palace and I'm thinking, he can be bothered one week, he can't be bothered next. So I think there may be an attitude problem with him. If he got his attitude right, I think, he's a great player. I think he's got a better touch than Lukaku had. He can bring people in. He's on the back post. Yeah. He can make things happen. But I just think over the last couple of years, things haven't gone right for him. I'm not sure about his attitude.
He probably feels undervalued at a team undervalued at a team like Palace. I think if he came to Everton, he is a focal point. And now with Sir Gerson in the side, from free kicks and corners, and as you say, he's got a great touch. I think he'd work well at Everton, at a team where he probably feels like he, he's more suited. I don't know, but
possibly, quite possibly. You know, I just think that what I've seen of him, and when I saw him at Aston Villa, and we drew comparisons to Lukaku, the better football player was Benteke. Yeah. The better football player, obviously Lukaku was a better goal scorer and had more pace and everything else. But power-wise, Benteke for me all day long.
But why didn't it work at Anfield? Yeah. What was the real problem?
I just don't know. Because I thought it was a great buy. You know what he did at Villa. Perhaps the way we played didn't suit him. I don't know. Villa played more to him than Liverpool did, even though more direct. But certainly, he was a bit frustrating, Liverpool, wasn't he? Mm. You know, it just didn't work out for him, and he was writing was on the wall. Then when Klopp came in, he wasn't his type of player because Klopp likes the centre for everyone to close down in different ways, different matters. So, but I can see what Gary's point is. You know, because
well, there's not many strikers about though.
You know what you're getting with him. Mm. You know what you're getting, and he's similar to Lukaku in many ways. And it could work. Hey, you don't lose that overnight, do you? You just don't lose that overnight, what he's got. And if it clicked at Everton, then quite possibly, yeah.
Gary, there's not an awful lot that we know. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, no, what is it? But I think he needs to go for somebody. I think Burdett is crying out for a centre-forward. I think the boy Sandro is not a centre-forward you're going to hang your hat on, you know, throughout the season. I think you need a main focal point. But it's getting
absolutely. Absolutely, Graham. You seem a little bit toothless, so you know.
Yeah.
My other cliff point was Davy Klaassen. I think I'm going to grow to like him.
Mm.
You know, jury's out, obviously it's early days, but I think I'm going to grow to like him because on Thursday, chunks of the game just passing by.
Yeah.
But when you see him, when he's actually got the ball at his feet and he's involved, his speed of thought is further forward than anyone around him.
Mm.
So I think he's got the class, but I just think we'll grow to like him.
Yeah.
But right now, I think it's passing him by a little bit.
Gary, listen, I've said it the other day as well. It's so hard. You know, you're coming from the Eredivisie, you know, which is not the best league in Europe kind of thing, but he's done really, really well at Ajax. It's a massive change to the hustle and bustle of the Premier League and the pace of the Premier League. So it's going to take time for him to adapt to it. So I think it's very easy for us all to say, he can't do this and he can't do that. No, I'm not sure about him. I think we've got to give him time to settle down because, you know, he'll be finding it difficult as well. You know, it's not as if he's going to come in and just hit the ground running. He needs time to adapt and the way they play and the players he's playing with. So, yeah, the jury's still out, but I think we've got to give him a lot more time than what we're giving him at the moment.
How are the fans talking about him, Gary, currently?
Most, I'd say, are a little bit unsure at the moment, and there's a little bit of negativity surrounding conversations that when he's brought up. But, you know, you have got to give any foreign player the time to settle into the Premier League. But I can see with him, as I say, his speed of thought, his little flicks, he seems to be a little bit ahead of the people around him currently. Mm. But I think that will generally come, you know, again with the players around him. And I think he'll be okay.
Good stuff, Gary. Give us a scoreline for tonight.
1-1.
I'll take that all day, Gary.
That's a nice one. Nice one, Gary. Speak to you soon. Thank you.
See you soon.
Right. It is nearly 7:15. We're going to have a short break here, and then we're going to catch up with Joe Royal, who we thought was quite apt to get on the show with the blue persuasion of both bits of Man City and Everton as well. So we'll talk with Joe. We'll take more of your calls as well very shortly indeed. 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends with John Aldridge, Graham Sharp and 188bet. Listen again to the show and get the latest offers from 188bet via the website. Please gamble responsibly.
It's the Legends with 188bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, myself, Steve Hothersall, here until 7:30 as soon as we have that Everton team news. We've had a couple of shows where Everton have been playing in the evening. That team news should come through in the next 5 or so minutes. Are we expecting anything out of the ordinary when it's named Sharpie?
No, I don't think so. There's a doubt about Sandro. I don't think he'll play. We talked about Sigurdsson, I think he'll play. One thing for me, I think he may be interested to see what formation he goes. 4-4-2, or does he play 3 at the back? Personally speaking, I think he should go with 4 at the back. I think we look better. you know, with Keane and Jagielka as the centre backs with Baines, and I think he'll play Martina as right back. But listen, we don't know. I don't know. Schneider will play Calvert-Lewin. It's up in the air. But I think Pickford, Martina, Jags, Keane, Bainsey, Schneiderlin, Gay. I think he'll go Sigurdsson, Klaassen, Rooney, Calvert-Lewin.
Right, we'll see if he's right in a moment or two. We'll also catch up with a man who's got a foot in both camps in Joe Royal. Of course, who's managed both teams and scored plenty of goals for Man City as well. Just before we get there, Liverpool's Champions League game with Hoffenheim this Wednesday, second leg. Certainly don't take it for granted,
no,
John.
No, we can't.
2-1, that looks a crucial goal for Hoffenheim now that they scored at home.
It's a lifeline, and as we said last week, it just gives them a little bit of hope. They've got to come and beat us by 2 goals. You know, that's the top and tail of it, really. And the way they set out the depth, I'm pretty sure that they will come and it'll be an open game. That's the way the manager plays. The way he likes it. You don't think he can change and he can go to Liverpool and park the bus because they're never going to win 2-0. So we're going to have a go. And that should play into our hands in many ways. And I can see goals at both sides of the fence. I really can, because they were good going forward. They had some good players going forward. So we'll have to defend, you know, resolutely, you know, and against the set plays, because they are good at set plays. Going forward, he'll play his strongest side, I'm pretty sure. Against Arsenal, he's got to play his strongest side again without
Coutinho, of course.
Well, yeah, without Coutinho.
He'll have to be reintroduced at some point, because it doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
That's right, you know, and then there's a break then. There's an international break that's coming, and then after that, you know, we'll soon know whether Philip Coutinho gets over the back problem. But certainly, as it stands now, you can't see him going anywhere, can you? You know, he's gone on strike, as I've said. This is what footballers do. Basically, you know, Van Dijk, him and Costa, they struck, you know, to get away. And that's what happens. It's been happening for years. But you can see now it's a little bit more deliberate. But once if he stays, like the Americans have said, and then once September 1st comes, then he's got to knuckle down like Suarez did. And Suarez gives a great season, didn't he? You know, it was last year we knew he was going to go. And if Coutinho knuckles down, we know he's going to go to Barcelona at the end of that season, but give us a good season. And it's the World Cup next year. He'll want to. He's peripheral. Sorry, not peripheral. He's a big
central.
He's central peripheral. That was the wrong way. There was, you know, he's essential for the Brazilian team. You know, and he's captained them now as well. So he'll know. He'll need to play and keep his fitness and keep his sharpness as well.
Right, I wonder how a manager deals with all that. He's coming on to talk about the Blues, but we may as well ask him as well. He's dealt with plenty of top players in his past. Joe Royal, evening to you, Joe.
How are you doing, mate?
Shall we start with Philip Coutinho? How would you deal with a Philip Coutinho situation, Joe?
Listen, mate, I spent more of my time as a manager dealing with free transfers than Philip Coutinho, so it would be hard for me to say, to be honest with you.
Right.
He's obviously a great talent, but The power of players today is much greater than it's ever been, and you know, with contracts running down and with the, shall we say, the unsettled nature of the thing. And I did read an article in some paper today, I can't remember which, that praised was it Mahrez for his attitude to wanting to go, you know, and he's carried on and playing at his best. And I think that maybe Coutinho, Van Dijk and company should do the same.
Joe, the answer to that question should have been sell him.
Well, I was trying to be PC and all.
Yeah. Peripheral. Yeah.
I mean, I think we all know the outcome in the end,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah.
And they're just arguing about the price and how much it is now. And and I would be surprised if any of them are still at their club when the window closes, to be honest with you.
Joe, the game tonight, you know, are you on your way there? Are you going to the game tonight?
No, not tonight, Sharpie. No.
What do you think he'll do tonight, Joe, in terms of the formation he'll play? Do you think he'll go 3 centre-backs or will he play flat back 4?
I think he'll play 3 centre-backs. I think he'll want to get all the new signings in, you know, and try and flood midfield. With 5 players in there, obviously, with 2 wing backs and 3 holding, and one I don't know whether he'll start with Sigurdsson or bring him on. Mm. We'll know more about that when we see the side. But I will be surprised if he doesn't play the three centre-backs. Mm. Particularly as now City are playing with two forwards, you know, two strikers with Aguero and Jesus. If they were playing just the one, well, you have a flat back four, which should handle that in 2v1. But they are playing with two at the moment. Mm. So I would be surprised if it's not three centre-backs.
Mm-hmm. They've got a ludicrous amount of talent, haven't they, Manchester City, Joe?
Well, they have. If you can spend $100 million on two fullbacks, you're doing quite well, aren't you? You know, I remember two board meetings for a free transfer when I was manager at City. But things have changed substantially, shall we say.
How much of a gap is it creating, do you think, John, in terms of City at the very top of the league spending that sort of money? Or will we only see that in a couple of years, do you think?
With the backing that they've got, it's monopoly money, isn't it? You can do what they want. You only have to look what they've done with the stadium, what they've done outside the stadium for the training facilities. It's ridiculously fantastic. You know, they've got more money than sense, you know. And they should, with the manager, you'd have thought, like what they've got, you know, get stronger and stronger.
But it would also say, although, you know, what they've done is also developed the community as well outside, you know, what would you call it, first housing, and that they have improved the whole area.
The structure,
to be fair to the Arab owners, you know, they have not just worked on the team and the stadium, but they've worked on the community as well.
Yeah.
There's very few clubs in the Premier League that can try and keep pace with them, though, is there? I mean, you know, you've certainly got a
United and Chelsea with Abramovich and.
I mean, it doesn't bode massively well for the long term future, does it?
To be fair, it shouldn't. You know, if money talks, you know. But sometimes you see what Leicester did. You know, some things can happen. You can galvanise teams and you can get really good players, you know, on the cheap. But you'd look at City, you know, you'd expect with the players they're bringing in, they'll get to the place before other teams, won't they?
Joe, would you say they're favourites, you think, this year, City?
On what I've seen up to now, I was very impressed with them. The work rate, the way that they pressed and closed, and when they played at Brighton couldn't get out their last third, never mind their own half, for long periods, and they were all committed. Even Aguero and Jesus were closing and pressing. And when they get the ball, they're pretty irresistible. I mean, you can't decry what United have done up to now, but they've done it against two sides who certainly won't be involved. Mm-hmm. No, as indeed Brighton won't be involved. But the 6 points and the 8 goals they've got is a formidable start. Mm-hmm. And at this stage, people have been saying United and City look to have maybe gone on a little bit again, particularly with Tottenham being so quiet in the transfer market.
So looking at City, Joe, and again, everybody's favourites, how can you get after them? Where's the weak link? I know Ronald Koeman said this week that he sees a chink in the armour. He thinks he can get after them a little bit. Obviously, Kompany's back in, you know, after his injury problems. Where do you see, you know, the point that maybe Everton can get something tonight?
I think if you sit there and wait for it to come, it'll come. Mm. You know, I think that you've got to present certainly a threat to them up front, and I've always liked the 4-3-3 system anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and that stretches them, and that gives their outside centre backs a problem of what to do when a full back's gone forward. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that Kyle Walker will be bombing on whenever he can, and someone's got to be looking to get into that hole as soon as Evan get the ball back. But they're top players, you know. You've got to say that there's no obvious weakness, particularly if they play three centre-backs as well, and Kompany is anywhere near his best. So, I mean, City will be favourites, Sharpie, and I know who we both want to win, but you have to be practical and sensible also and say that Man City at the moment look favourites not only to win this game, but to be top of the league.
You've got to match them. You've got to keep possession, Joe, haven't you? You know, the main thing, you can't give the possession away cheaply because they will make you pay. You know, and Liverpool done particularly well last couple of games we played against them. And if you keep the ball in midfield, you pass it and shift it quickly, you will get in. You'll get players in between the back four and the midfield in that sort of area. That's where we've cut them up many, many times at the new ground. So I think that Everton should, that's where maybe the manager might think, the likes of Rooney in particular, you'd be looking for getting them little Sigurdsson if he plays, them little sort of areas where you can get at City.
Yeah, the space in between the midfield and their back four or back three, whichever it is. And Everton do actually have a very good record against Manchester City away from home in recent years. And the 4-0 hammering that they gave them will still be in Guardiola's memory, I'm sure. But, I mean, there's going to be at least four or five new players still finding their way in the Everton team tonight. And it'd be very interesting to see, does he start with Wayne up front or in a wide position? Will Sigurdsson start? Indeed, you know, who will start at right wing back if we play three? Will it be Holgate or will it be Martina? So there's still one or two puzzles as to what our side's going to be. But, you know, if we rise to it, you never know. You never know. And City in the past have started very well. I remember last season they went off like a house on fire and then they levelled out. I think they're a bit better than that this season and better for the experience. But, you know, as I say, we'll know better today, tonight, after this game, as to what our ambitions are for this season.
And how many points will be successful out of the next four games? What would you try and sort of accumulate?
12. You've got to be positive, aren't you? You've seen right. two.
Is the Tottenham game away, is it?
Tottenham at home.
You could don't get them away just at this present moment. Yeah. At Wembley.
Manchester United away. So that's the fourth of the games, and Chelsea away as well. So that's
And forget after tonight. We'll know exactly where we are after the next four games, won't we?
Okay, brilliant stuff, Joe. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Joe.
All the best, Joe. Nice to talk to you, pal. Take care.
There you go. We'll have that team news in a moment or two. It's still not been released as yet, has it? I'm just trying to scroll down there.
Should be about now, shouldn't it?
I'm going through here and I'm trying to pick the team, and Joe said the three centre backs here might go to three centre backs. And you know what? It's not a sad thing. You know the thing? And all the ones that I've been doing, Tom Davis, how quickly has he went kind of out the picture? You know, came on the scene last year and he was brilliant. Yeah. He was a shoo-in every time and saying he's got to play kind of thing. What the energy gives us, and he scored against City. And he seems to be forgotten about. You know, would this be the game that you bring him back in? You know, we talked about the first caller was talking about, you know, classing and everything else. And you're thinking, does Tom go in front of him? I know it's a big call for the manager, but the manager made a big call the other week there when he dragged off Ashley Williams at half-time. You know, and kept Phil Jack Elkin, and you're thinking, well, he won't drag off his own signing of whatever it was we got. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Tom Davis must be
Sigurdsson on the bench. I'm just saying this.
Is he on the bench?
That's just popped up. I haven't got the full team, but Sigurdsson on the bench from a fairly reliable source there. Right.
So I'm surprised at that. I thought they'd have given him an hour.
Let's see if it just comes up on this next. Have we got it? No, I've got the Manchester City team, which is Edison, Walker, Danilo, Kompany, Stones, Aguero, De Bruyne, David Silva, Fernandinho, Otamendi, and Gabriel Jesus as well.
We've got a chance because Otamendi's playing. We've got a chance. And Stones's playing, so we'll have a chance there.
So they go through the back.
Sorry, I haven't got that Everton team. We'll take a very short break here, right here on the Radio City Legends. Here we go. Is this it? No Klassen and Lookman starting. So I know that as well. But
no Klassen and Lookman starting.
No, according to these things, they're just sort of slowly leaking out. Let's see if we can get it off this final tweet. No, not got it yet. I'll have it in a second or two. It's the Radio City Legends with 188bet. Head to radiocity.co.uk. Check out the Legends page. There's plenty more information on there. Stand by. More callers next, including team news as well.
It's the Legends. With 188bet. Pre-match. In play. Bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
We're here for another 20 minutes. Graham Sharp, John Aldridge, myself, Steve Hothersall, and we have the Everton team now. So the Man City team, unchanged from the 2-0 win at Brighton on the opening day. They look pretty formidable. Everton tonight, Sharpie, or what?
I think it's going to be interesting. Just say to John there, go with three centre. My worry with the three centre-backs is, I think if you play that system, one of your centre backs has got to, at least, if not the three of them, got to be comfortable coming out and giving you that extra man and coming forward. And I don't think the three centre backs that we've got are particularly comfortable on the ball.
So it's Pickford in goal, and the three centre backs are Keane, Williams, Jagielka.
And then you've got Mason Holgate, who has played that wide wing back role. I don't think that suits him. I think he's a centre back. I've been saying for a while, I'm surprised that the young boy John Joe Kenny doesn't get a game. But listen, he's gone with that. And Leighton Baines on the other side, which is, yeah, sure, not a problem with that. And then you've got Gay and Schneiderlin holding. And then you've got Davis, Calvert-Lewin in a two. And I think Rooney will be up top. And Calvert-Lewin and Davis will have their legs just behind them. Davis to cover the right side, Calvert-Lewin the left hand. Whoever's got on the left hand side, and that's why I think it'll be Calvert-Lewin, he will have to track Kyle Walker all day long, because he will just bomb forward for fun down that right hand side. So, you know, I just think that, yeah, listen, that's what he's gone with. He thinks he can get after him a little bit. I'm surprised that Sigurdsson doesn't play from the start. Thought he would have played from the start, but not to be. Not to be.
We'll have the bench for you very shortly. Let's get back to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends. And first up in this part of the show, Tony in Wavertree. Hello, Toe.
Hello, John.
Hi, Tony, all right?
Yeah, just want to talk about the lack of a number nine, John, because the game there, Sturridge, for me, he's lost that bit of pace like Torres did years ago, and
yeah.
I don't think you're ever going to see the best of Daniel Sturridge no more, and it's disappointing to say it, but watching him there, you know, do you think he looked good in pre-season? Well, he didn't look that sharp to me at the weekend, so it's a worry, John. If, you know, if he gets another injury, Firmino gets injured, Mane gets injured, we'll be in trouble. We need to buy a goal scorer. Not like we should have went for Defoe to sit on the bench and come on and get a goal for us.
I used to say that in
week in, week out.
I mean, we used to do the commentaries, get Defoe. Yeah, I agree. And the lad Solanke, for me, he excites me. He really does. He's only a young kid. And we're speaking to Michael Beale. You know, and I totally agree with what Michael said. He'll score 10 goals this season. He'll get goals for us. You know, he's good in the air. You know, he was involved in the goal at the weekend. But I would have liked to have seen us go out in the summer and get the type of centre forward that we're looking for. We all know what we're looking for, don't we? You don't have to underline it. Because as he looks now, he's got Sturridge, Origi, Solanke and Firmino can all play up top. Ings, you know, when he comes back from awful layoff, as we know, don't know whether he's going to be the same player. So he's looking at, he has got options, but I think you're right. I think Sturridge now it will become more of a squad player this year. He'll be, you know, on the bench a lot. He may start some games, and I think the manager will utilise him as a squad player. Sturridge, get the best out of him. Origi, for me, he's gone backwards. He's gone backwards, you know, since he got that injury about 18 months ago, whatever it was. He's not been the same since. Solanke excites me. Firmino can play that role, you know, as we know. But out of all them, will any one of them so get us 20-odd goals plus? I don't think so. Not this season, anyway.
Well, even in the Champions League as well now, John, hopefully, like, after Wednesday. Surely he must be looking to bring someone in as a striker. I know we need a centre-half. And if the other fella goes for Coutinho, we definitely need to replace him. But going forward, playing in these big two competitions, you need a bigger squad. And I don't think our squad's big enough to cope with the two. I mean, that's why he made a lot of changes against Palace. I was surprised the team he played, but you know, it worked for us in the end. But it's not going to work for us against better teams than Palace, is it?
I agree with you. You know, the team he made five changes, and we looked a little bit flat. We done enough to take the lead in the first half, but we just couldn't, you know, make it pay. We didn't have that cutting edge, did we? You know, I think when Salah came on, you could see the difference he made down the right, and Solanke made the difference as well, you know, through the middle, you know, and we created quite a few chances with them on. But you're right, I think, you know, throughout the season now, you look at our bench, and you look at the benches of the other, you know, likes of the United and Cities, and we're miles away.
What sort of player do you prefer in between Salah and Mane? What player do you want? Do you want a Firmino or do you want a Solanke?
A Solanke. I'd like a Solanke type player. But
do you?
A centre
forward. And Firmino's quite clearly is well, first choice.
Firmino's more of a false number nine, whatever they call it, you know, number 10, whatever. But for me, I like the old, well, not old fashioned, you know, they're like a Costa, you know, Vardy, you know, these strikers who go out and they get you 20 goals plus. You know,
probably score a few off Robertson's crosses, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. That's a big plus. That was what I'm saying. You know, if you get these strikers, you know, who are box players as well. You know, if he plays all season, as I said before, he'll create a lot of chances for us and a lot of assists.
So, anything else on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been saying Lindsay and Vardy there, and after the match there, and in Carl, after England Saturday, we were saying about Vardy. he'd be perfect for us,
he'd be perfect, yeah, that, absolutely. But you know, the philosophy of the Americans, you know, they don't buy older players, they buy younger players, don't they? He's 29, but I tell you what, it's all hypothetical. If you were to get him for 3 years, he'll bang 20 goals in a season for the next 3 years.
Jürgen wants players on the up, doesn't he? He doesn't want players who've sort of reached it and are going on the other
he's
side.
He's a late developer, him. Yeah. Don't forget, he didn't start till late. He'll be fine till he's 34, Vardy. No, not a problem.
Tony, great points. Thank you very much indeed. Speak again soon. Let's get to Steve next up on the Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Legends. You okay?
Hello, Steve.
Good. I've got a few points. The first point, obviously, massive Liverpool fan, but I was just kind of wondering on Klopp's introduction of Moreno back at left-back.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what John's thought of that was, because I'm starting to wonder whether Klopp's tactical mouse, I don't know whether he's just given him an opportunity because he's played well in pre-season, but his defence has shown again at Watford was a joke. He'd made so many errors in so many games. Just because he played well in pre-season, John, he doesn't start the first game of the season to be playing well. I think Carragher mentioned it. He said, you know, you start to wonder whether Klopp's defensive capabilities and whether he can, you know, actually train a back four, you know, to work as a team and actually defend the ball, or whether he needs a defensive coach to come in and do it for him. Because you do have to start asking questions, John. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
If it's a turn about Carter, I'd love him to have not gone into the media and been a coach, because defensively he'd be a great coach, wouldn't he? But I agree with you, because it was when Jürgen came out and said it, I thought, well, I know he played all right in Munich and all that, but I'm not sure whether he can change overnight. Because the lad, defensively, he struggled since he's been at the club. We all know that. The fans know that. You know, you've got to be truthful. You know, lovely lad, and going forward, he's half decent. But defensively, he's all over the shop. You know, in the first two games, he was ridiculously poor, you know, and I don't want to say too many bad things about it. But for Jürgen to come out and say, you know, he's back at left back and Milner's going midfield, he's cutting down his options. Like James Milner, there might be times that you might need him to play left back, you know, because he's done such a great job for it. It's not ideal, but hey, there might be times to use his experience there. You know, lad Robinson now, he got man of the match at the weekend. We've seen he excites you. Okay, as we spoke before, me and Sharpie, he's not been tested yet, you know, from a defensive point of view, which will happen, you know, with the games we are coming up. But I watched him against Bilbao, and he's quite adept. He knew when it broke down play, he was tucked right in, and he was looking along the back four to make sure his positional sense was right. And that's Moreno's problem. He shuts off, and he gets his defensive positions wrong so many times, and teams play on him because of that. Diagonals all the time on top of him and overload that sort of the left side, their right side, you know, and lad's been caught out many a times, and I just think he switches off. His concentration levels are not very, very good.
Also, John, why haven't we had more defensive targets? Why have we only had Robertson? Okay, he seems like, you know, he probably hasn't had enough games to make a full judgment on the lad. He's you know, he's man of the match on the weekends, and fair enough, he had more touches on the ball than any other player, and he's done well with that. But why haven't we had more defensive targets than just Van Dijk and him? Why haven't we had a plan B? Because at the moment, he's saying, oh, we're our back four's okay the way it is. No, it's not.
I think
it's not. I mean, John, if he brought in a centre-half now, a top centre-half on Dijk, who would you drop? Matty or Lovren? Because to me, mate...
It'd be Lovren. No, Matty was a good defender. I thought he was superb at the weekend.
I'm not denying he's not. But is he miles better than Lovren? Is Lovren miles better than Matty? Because
Who would you have out of two of them? Who would you have out of two of them? I'd have Matip all day long before Dejan Lovren.
He's a good ball playing centre half, and I like what he does.
Do you know what? Do you know?
And so's Lovren.
Yeah,
so,
but you know what, Steve? What are you saying? If you look at the right back role now, he's now we're overloaded there. When Klein comes back, who's a very good player, Trent Alexander, who's an excellent player. You know, Gomez, he done well. He can play there, and you've got Flano as well. You know, there's not a problem now. You go centre defence. Now that's a bit of a problem. Gomez can go in there at a push. You've got the Lovren, your Matip, then you've got Clavin. And then obviously, whatever happens with Sacco, whether he comes back into the fold, we'll have to wait and see. Left back.
But do we want to challenge for a title, John? Because I know what you mean, but you know. Centre back to come in, you don't need people that potentially could do a good role in there. We need a top centre half in there.
Well, that's why he's gone for Van Dijk. That's why. But they messed it up. You know, at the end of the day, they messed it up, Steve. You know, whichever way we tried to get him, it didn't work. If he'd have come, you know, you look at the back four straight away and you go, yeah, okay, there's still issues at left back. But Gomez can play left back.
Why have we only had one target, though, centre back? Why haven't we had, like, a plan? Why haven't we had, say, right back?
Well, I don't know about that. I think because it's so desperate for Van Dijk himself.
Maybe he just thought it was going to come off.
Kajic is the same, though, John. We had one target at centre midfield. And then I don't think he's, I like Wright said, all right, there's my main target. Don't get him, we get him. But
sometimes you've got to have a plan B. But I have to say, in respect of the manager and maybe the club, they're the best of what's out there. They see them as the best of what's out there, and it's no good getting someone else who's not as good as them just to fill the gap. That's what maybe it be, because they're the top priorities, and neither of them come off, and we know the reasons why, and both accounts. But they must have thought, well, we'll just hang on and try and get them down the road. But we do need players. Of course we need players to get through the season.
Steve, great stuff. We've got to move on because we need to get a couple of blues in. But thank you very much indeed. Let's talk with Bobby, Everton fan. We've actually got the Everton bench now, haven't we, Sharpie?
Yeah.
So
Stecklenburg, Morales, Martinez, Sigurdsson, Klaassen, Besic and Lookman.
So there's no Sandro, is there?
No, he's injured.
What's wrong with him?
He's got a heel injury, I think.
Right, okay. Let's talk with Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
All right. Just a bit of positive talk that I made before.
Yeah, so go on, Bobby.
These next four games, we never won any of them last season.
Is that right?
Yeah, never won any of them, did we? So let's look on the positive. And
that's
get some
good
points.
Shout, yeah.
You know.
And you got £100 million worth on the bench. We just tapped it up.
That's what I was going to talk about. Lukaku, Graham, 12 months on.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned with nine days to go that we haven't got, in a game like tonight, someone with weight up front that's going to take the pressure off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're lacking. Do you think we should get Ben Tekken?
Well, the first caller, you know, mentioned that himself, and, you know, he said he would have him, and I can understand why. If it was down to me, I'd like to see, and I don't think it's ever going to happen, Giroud would be the one that I would have picked. But we need, I agree with you, I think we're crying out for somebody up front. You look at when he played at Southampton, he had that Graziano Pella, who was a big target man up front for him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way he wants to play. But I agree with you, I think 9 days to go, where are you going to pluck one from?
Do you know who I've been watching as well, Bob?
Yeah.
But like, for Southampton, that Gabbiadini.
Well, I looked at him.
Really good player.
Yeah, and he looked at him, didn't he? And he took a chance. And I think this lad who's at AC Milan, Inter Milan, is it? Or Sam Fiorentina at the moment. He used to play for Blackburn. These are the chances that you're going to take. And it's whether they take to the Premiership and the physicality. It's a huge gamble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the point that you made before, John, about Van Dijk, there's not a lot of quality around, is it? And then you're gambling. Then you are really gambling.
You're right.
Going abroad to bring someone in for 30, 40, 50 million pounds.
Yeah. Spot on.
I don't even know what they're like.
In an ideal world, you want to get people who's in the Premiership, you know, who's been there, seen it and done it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get. You know, people come in from other leagues and some can't adapt. Some do, obviously. Mm. But, you know, in an ideal world, you're like, if you're looking for a striker, what you said, like Giroud, or Benteke, you know what you're going to get. Yeah. They played in the league, isn't it?
I think, though, Graham, and I don't know whether the fullback Martin, he doesn't look the best defender in the world, but I don't know why he answers the fact that he can actually cross a ball.
Yeah.
And also, you've got now Sigurdsson who can cross a ball.
Mm.
And you can see the balance there, but I ain't seen a forward who's going to head balls in the net for fun, which is, I think they're working to that model, but they haven't got the end game in place for that.
What would you think, Bob, tonight? Martina's not playing and he's playing Holgate there.
I worry about Martina defensively. I agree with you about John Joe Kenny.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone three at the back. I think it's just, you know what I mean? If you're paying in for a penny and for a pound, I say.
Yeah.
I think it's a big plus point Schneiderlin's playing because he missed him towards the end of the season at places like Anfield and that last year.
Yeah.
Old Trafford. I think we'll see more of it tonight. I think Davis is a good shout. I just wonder whether we've got too many number 10s, Graham.
Yeah.
The very Liverpool-like in that fact that they've got all these floating forwards. And they all play in the same position. I'm confused when they're all fit.
Yeah.
Where does Wayne Rooney play as a left winger? Yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, Wayne won't do that. But I'm looking to say, I'm trying to think how we're going to play.
Well, where would you play Sigurdsson then if he's fit? Would you play him as a winger out of position for that sort of money?
I'm looking at what I've got now, and I've got the three centre-backs. I've got Holgate and Baines that we're playing. And we've got, Schneiderlin and Gay Holden. Then I've got Tom Davis just in front of him on the right, Calvert-Lewin just in front of him in the left.
If Klassen's not playing, is it?
Klassen's not playing, and Rooney up top tonight. But I just look at that again, and I'm looking at that, and I'm comparing that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the five that the City have got. Aguero, Silva, Jesus, Sane, Fernandinho. And I'm thinking, they will hurt you. I'm not sure if our front five, again, at this moment of today's team, is going to hurt Man City. I think when Sigurdsson gets fully fit, I think they could do. But I think you're going into a game tonight with Calvert-Lewin, a young lad, in that final third, Tom Davis, a young lad, who are not probably the most
productive. Do you know what I would say,
productive,
Graham,
yeah?
Over the last couple of years, this centre-half's a good player, isn't he, and the goalkeeper. And it gives me huge optimism, particularly the centre-half, what I've seen so far.
Yeah. Bobby, just give us a quick score, because we've got to go.
1-1.
Good man, it's the second one.
Everyone wants
that.
A 1-1, yeah. Don't they? Right, we're just two shows into the brand new Radio City Legends series, and our producer Dave Downey has done a Virgil van Dijk, hasn't he? He's gone on strike. Look at him.
He's
two shows in, he's gone on strike.
He's been straight for the last 2 years, let me tell you. Never mind two shows.
And we find him somewhere. We're picketing. Oh, he's at the City of Manchester Stadium, coughing his throat out. Hello, David.
I'm not there yet. I'm stuck in traffic on some council estate in Manchester.
Oh, how are we not surprised with that? Yeah, you've got to prepare. Get there in time.
Preparation is key.
Yes.
David's motto.
Oh, no, not at all. By the way...
Hey, listen, I seen the team and thought about turning round.
You're not happy with it, Dave?
It just looks like we've come to defend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to hurt them on the break, have we, Sharpie, in terms of pace, so... I'm surprised he didn't start one of Morales or Luchman.
Yeah.
Just to give them some sort of outlet. But it looks like we're there to bed.
You've got to grind it out, Dave, haven't you? It's one of those games. You've got to go there and just grind and grind and see what happens. You know.
I think he's looking to get to about 60 or 70 and keep it tight and then see if he can change it from there.
Yeah,
know?
That's right, mate.
I think that's a dangerous thing because you can concede in the first minute and then you think, oh, hold on a minute, we need to change it now. You know, and I think it's a really tough... I agree with you a little bit, and I think a lot of people agree with you as well, Dave. But as I said to the last caller, when you look at their front five, whatever, Aguero, Silva, Jesus, Sane, we need to be defensively very, very good tonight to get anything.
Dave, don't get lost. Good luck with your evening.
See you Thursday, Dave.
Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, lads.
No striking on Thursday. Yeah. Boys, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers,
although, Sharpie, see you again on Thursday. Join me on the Radio City Talk breakfast from 7 a.m. Tomorrow morning. We'll be reflecting on this Everton game.
It's the Legends. With 1-888-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.